Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The United Auto Workers Union is appealing the vote that it lost at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee earlier this month. Workers at the plant voted against joining the UAW by a slim margin, 712 to 626. Had the vote passed, it would have been the first steps towards organizing a works council at the plant. That's how Volkswagen's plants in Germany are organized, and it gives workers a voice in management. It would also have been a big deal for the UAW, which has staked its survival on unionizing foreign-owned auto plants in the South. The UAW has asked the National Labor Relations Board to investigate, contending that interference by Republican Senator Bob Corker and other politicians swayed the vote. Corker had told workers that if they voted no, VW would choose to build a new SUV at the plant. We're joined now by Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers Union. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
So how big of a setback for you, for the UAW, was this vote in Chattanooga?
You know, I think it was most importantly a setback for the workers and for workers having a full voice, and a setback in some ways for American labor management relationships. What a tremendous opportunity to participate in a works council system where workers sit down on an equal basis with management on a daily basis, and they work together through the works council on health and safety and productivity and quality. We're disappointed. We're certainly not giving up. We're going to continue to support the workers in Chattanooga who want representation, who want to be part of the Global Works Council. So it definitely is a setback, but that's what we look at it as.
But you have said that the future of the UAW depends on unionizing these foreign auto plants across the South especially.
To clarify that, what I would say in today's world, whether auto industry jobs are going to be decent middle-class jobs depends on the workers in those facilities across this country, and then we're even working globally, but workers standing together. The only way that auto workers got the pay that they did, the vacations, the retirement, the holidays, the health care benefits was because they used their collective voice to sit down with management and say, hey, we want our fair share of the success of this company. And we achieved it. And if you've got half the workers making lower wages, or you've got companies that are hiring all temporary or permanent temporaries, I would call them, that hurts every worker in the auto industry. The only way that the American auto industry is going to stay a middle-class creating industry is if workers come together and make sure that they help the company to be successful that they work at, but also get their fair share of the success of that company. And that's what the Works Council opportunity was so exciting in Volkswagen. We do that a lot in American labor right now, but this was a step further in that direction of collaboration and working for joint success.
Although many people would say and have said, and this was one of the big arguments against unionizing the plant in Chattanooga, that giving workers all of those benefits was one of the problems in Detroit, that that's what sunk a couple of the major automakers there.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard Harley Shaken. He makes a really important point. Between 06 and 2010, Ford Motor Company, I think, made $38 billion. Chrysler, General Motors, had many tremendously successful years with the packages they had negotiated. What we all did not respond quickly enough to, and I'll take equal credit and equal blame with management, to the foreign competition. And our country, less than any other country, protects their home industries. So we did not respond quickly enough to the competition. But we are today. So we're showing that management and labor working together is a critical factor in success. And that's what Volkswagen says, second largest, most, and highest shareholder value-adding auto company in the world, says that their success is because they work together through the works councils and in co-determination with the workforce. That's an exciting opportunity, and we're not going to back away from that. We're going to continue to work to create that opportunity for the Chattanooga workforce.
Well, then why did they reject it?
You know, you saw a lot of it. There were threats put out against Volkswagen as a company saying, we're not going to give you incentives. Senator Corker came out and said, if you vote no, I'll guarantee you get a new product. You had all kinds of cultural stuff going on. You had billboards that said the UAW, take away your guns. The UAW members are hunters all over our union. It was so ridiculous. But people who didn't have other information voted with the wrong information. And I think the fear and intimidation was the worst part of it. But I don't want to discount either the kind of cultural attacks, unfair, untrue cultural attacks that they made on the UAW and what we stand for.
Well, you have raised objections about what Senator Corker said before the vote with the National Labor Relations Board. What makes you think, though, that you'll win there?
Well, I think there's some early cases. This hasn't happened in a long time. But what the National Labor Relations Act was supposed to do was set up a laboratory condition where workers would decide if they wanted to be in have representation or not, wanted to form their local union or not, and there would not be threats or promises by either side. Senator Corker and the others who made threats against Volkswagen or making workers believe they wouldn't get the product if they voted for the union, we think that that destroyed the laboratory conditions that the NLRB was set up to provide, and there are some early case law that would support that.
You think that's why people voted against the union?
Well, we had a majority. We had a majority certified by an independent attorney, and it was only 44 votes would have changed the outcome of the election. So when it's that close of a workforce of 1,500, I think it's really clear that what Senator Corker did and what others in that state did was wrong, was morally wrong for me, and I think the NLRB will say that it destroyed the conditions for a fair election.
Now, if you look at this in the big picture of unions in general, it is not just the UAW that lost a vote here. Union membership, as you know, is much lower today than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago in this country. The UAW is a third of the size it was back in the 70s. Isn't the trend moving against the tide that you're hoping for here?
Well, yeah, but you know what's exciting to me and what's positive to me is America's waking up to the tremendous inequality in income and wealth in this country. And more people are understanding without a strong labor movement, you don't have a strong middle class. People understand that when we bargain for better wages or health care or vacations or holidays, that not only did union members benefit, but so did non-union members, because that then became a standard in the community. You could look at charts that many different people have done that show, as you show less and less workers in unions, you see the middle class sliding downward, that their income gets stagnated, that they lose health care, they don't have the defined benefit pension plans they used to have, and even other issues of social metrics, what funding is there for schools, how expensive are colleges. As union membership goes down and there's not as powerful a voice for working people in society in general, the whole society, if you believe in a middle class, you believe in a democracy, it's hurt by the fact that unions are in demise. And so we're very committed in the UAW and with our sisters and brothers in the AFL-CIO and the Change to Win movement, we're all committed to rebuild the labor movement because we believe in America, we believe in democracy, but we believe in having a middle class. You don't have a middle class or democracy without a strong union. Look at Germany, look at Italy, look at the places that have turned around and built democracies in Chile or in Brazil. Look at what's happened to the middle class there. It's growing and expanding the opposite direction of what's happening here, and a major factor is strong unions in those countries.
Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers Union. Mr. King, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.